Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big, like lines for an offense.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. We've got an interesting week this week. The Colts coming up with a Thursday night game in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium against the New England Patriots. Not the ideal short week of the season, but and for a couple reasons, but at least now we know that we've got this game kind of under our belt after it's over with. The Colts get a little bit of a bye week, kind of a mini bye with this, with the rest of the week and then following not having to play until Sunday again. So that's nice. It's a big game. It's a big game with the Colts sitting right now at 1-3. And this could be either disastrous at 1-4, or this could be a game that really gives the Colts a pick-me-up throughout the rest of the season, bringing them to 2-3 and really kind of giving them that push that they need, especially for the next couple games and then to the second half of the season after the bye week, where the majority of their games are AFC South opponents. So tonight we're going to give you guys, you know, the little bit of news that we've got, and then we're going to get into the Pro Football Focus grades from last week. They were pretty interesting, I think, and I was kind of surprised at some of them. The rest of them, you know, it's kind of been the progression through the weeks up and down a little bit, whether it be their grade or their rank. And one way or another, you're seeing kind of the players of this team kind of start to materialize a little bit. As far as for news right now, the Colts released, you know, kind of another walkthrough-ish injury report, more or less. Anthony Costanzo, for a second straight day, was limited. Jack Doyle did not practice yesterday or today, Monday or Tuesday, I guess. Eric Ebron was full both days. Clayton Gethers did not practice after being limited on Monday. Not real sure what that means, if anything. It's not good going into this week, but we'll have to see what it actually means. Terrible news from Denzel Good and his family. Apparently his brother was the victim of a drive-by shooting in South Carolina and passed away. So obviously Denzel did not make it to Tuesday's walkthrough, but terrible news. We wish him all the best. We are thinking about him. I hope that you guys are out there in Colts Nation as well. Just really unfortunate. Hate the way that sometimes life gets in the way of this stuff. That's just really, you know, this needless stuff, I guess, rather gets in the way of life for a lot of people. And it's just terrible, the loss for their family. So we are thinking about him and his family now. Can't imagine going through that. Hope that none of you can either. Nate Hairston did not practice Monday or Tuesday. Neither did T.Y. Hilton. A couple of important ones right there, I think, when you look at cornerback depth, what the Colts are going to need this week. And then obviously T.Y. Hilton, you know, what he brings to this offense and the way that he kind of spaces things out. The Colts were able to get a nice workload out of Zach Pascal, you know, throughout the day. Even Johnson was able to get, you know, a few more touches. Ryan Grant seems to be continuing, you know, some really solid play. But T.Y. Hilton really, you know, kind of energizes that wide receiver core. And those big plays that he can get and those, you know, down the field or the yak plays, both of which he showed this past week against Houston and Indy, those will be missed if for some reason he can't go. Malik Hooker was full participant Monday and Tuesday. Ryan Kelly and Darius Leonard both out. At least according to this is how, and they've kind of structured this in a way where they say, we kind of had a walkthrough. If this was a practice, these guys would not have practiced or would have been considered not practiced. So doesn't mean that they were there. They did say that Darius Leonard was there with a walking boot. I think it was funny. Somebody pointed out, you know, Ryan Kelly, real surprise, has a hand issue after that snap. I thought that was funny. You know, I mean, hopefully his hand's not seriously hurt, but you know what I mean? I thought it was funny. It's kind of those things that kind of lends itself to some natural humorism, after the fact there. And I thought that was kind of funny. Marlon Mack limited both days. Kenny Moore hasn't, practice either day. Neither has Hassan Ridgeway, who was out last week as well. Adam Vinatieri with a groin issue, full practice yesterday, or full participant yesterday, deemed not participant on Tuesday. Anthony Walker full on both days, and Quincy Wilson has not practiced. According to the injury report, he has a concussion. It was interesting. I put this in a quick story yesterday where Zach Kiefer has reported that he doesn't – well, reported is kind of a weird word to use when it's kind of an assumption. But he says, to the best of his ability, more or less, and I'm paraphrasing Zach here, that he doesn't think that Quincy Wilson is actually in concussion protocol, that he thinks it could possibly be something else, and I don't think injury-related. So they're basically he's saying that there's some oddness with his, you know, designation here. He doesn't think that he's in the concussion protocol, more or less. And that's really interesting. This is one way or another. If this is something that Wilson's screwing up with this team, last year we saw flashes of what he could prove. We were pissed at the coaching staff because they weren't playing him. When he did play, he played well. This year, we're seeing it again. You know, he's a guy who flashes, you know, often when he's playing in the game, and then you see that he's not getting some playing time and he's getting beat and he's got a broken hand. That's not on here. So maybe it's carryover between the two issues. I don't really know. One way or another, this is, you know, it's kind of sad. We're in year two with this guy. He's a second-round pick, definitely a guy that you consider, and I won't say cornerstone next necessarily, but I think that he's a guy that you wanted to be the cornerstone of your secondary along with Malik Hooker. I mean, first and second-round pick on the secondary is a big deal, and he's just not there. He's not available, and he's not something mental with him. I don't know as far as his approach to the game or to practice. I don't know what it is. But it sucks. It's a disappointment right now. I hope that he can get it together because he is an excellent talent, and the way that he plays the game is crucial for the future of the Colts, I think. So I hope that he gets it together, whatever it is. It just has become something that is consistent with him between two coaching staffs. Don't really know what it is. You see kind of a fall off and a dip late in the training camp. You see him come back and play pretty well, back down again. Kind of, just really disheartening. Hopefully he gets it together and things can start moving forward with his career. So it's just not a pretty injury report right now, folks. And I don't think that the Colts can really afford to have these issues going into a game, not just against New England, but on the road in New England, and not to mention that the Colts really don't have much room for error given their current status and record in the league right now. So moving on, the Colts made some roster moves to Tuesday as well. They've got 52 on the roster right now. Robert Turbin has not been activated. They've got some time to do that. I think they've got till Thursday to activate him for this week. But they haven't done that yet. They did, however, sign running back Jonathan Williams, former New Orleans Saints back. They signed him to the practice squad, and they waived Jeremy McNichols. I kind of was hoping that McNichols would stay on the roster. I didn't think that he would because I thought more likely that Turbin and him would flop, sort of, right? McNichols only got two carries this past Sunday. One of them was a 7-yard carry. It was a nice carry, I thought. And I was kind of, you know, the next one was a one for a loss of 3. That wasn't his fault. That was interior pressure from the Texans that got through and stopped him. He had nowhere to go. But I just wanted to see more of him. You know what I mean? I don't have a real solid issue with this or anything like that, just the simple fact that I was hoping to see a little more action from him in the coming games to see if maybe he could be, you know, a guy who might stand out. He looked like he had good vision. He's got good quickness and stuff like that. I was really hoping that we would, you know, get some more, see a few more carries out of him. Not a big deal, like I said, but this running back committee is going to be a fluid one. And with Turbin coming back, hopefully he has been working his butt off during his suspension. I would be really upset, and I think that most Colts fans and the Colts in general would be really upset if he came back out of shape, unprepared, that kind of thing. Yes, I suppose he's got to catch up to the playbook. He's a veteran, though. This shouldn't be a long process for him, and the Colts really need him. They need him to be good. I mean, honestly, this running back situation is bad right now. You're using Hines as a weapon. That's great. He's not much for a running back, though, when you consider the position as an actual runner and a ball carrier. Jordan Wilkins is not impressing right now. And then, you know, what else they got, man? Marlon Mack, you know, is he good? Is he not good? We don't know. I mean, he's had 10 carries this year, so we just don't know. This running back situation, kind of bleak, kind of an issue for the Colts right now. Even when they do run, it's not effective. And, you know, they're basically, I mean, maybe pending some early, you know, bad throws or interceptions or something, could see another 50-attempt night from Andrew Luck, I think, Thursday night. And that would be a scary situation, I think, because you've got linemen that are hurt. You've got linemen that are tired from this past week against a nice front from the Texans. And this, you know, this is just not shaping up to be the ideal matchup with the Patriots. Short week and banged up. So let's move on. Let's go hit the player grades and kind of the succession of these grades throughout the weeks. Won't drop back all the way to week one like we did kind of last week. Just hit last week's grade and then move on and kind of tell you guys where they've gone from there. So start off with Luck. Bounce back, big 460-plus yard game, 62 attempts, 40-some, or 40, I think right at 40 completions. He's ranked ninth right now overall, went up from 16th last week, and he has an 82 grade overall, whereas he had a 71 last week. That's his second highest grade of the year. He was an 82.3 in week one, 77.9 in 71 last week, just for clarification. Not going to do that with every position after I already told you guys I wouldn't. But just to see his kind of his movement up and down through the first 4 weeks of the season. Naheem Hines, the running backs, was 29th last week, 63.7 grade. He's up 2 positions, 27th, and up 3 points to a 66.6 grade. Like I said, he's been a good, he's a weapon, kind of a movable piece here for the Colts. They can do a lot with him. They can line him up in a lot of different areas of the field or of the package. He's just not much of a running back right now, and that's kind of a bad thing. You were hoping, I mean, with his size, you want him to be a vision speed, one-cut type runner. He's not that yet. So hopefully he can get a little more impressive in that regard. Jordan Wilkins, he's 48th overall with a 58.3 grade right now. That's down 5 slots from 43 last week and down a point on the grade from 59.2 to 58.3. So Zach Pascal leads the Colts in the wide receiver grades this week. He is at 31st overall, whereas he has not been ranked yet. So that's kind of interesting to see that, obviously. Now he's at a 72.3. Grant, who last week was at 39 with a 69 grade, is at 49 with a 66.9 grade. Went down 10 slots, did not lose a bunch on his grade, though. Another pretty solid performance from him. T.Y. Hilton, he's come up from 70 to 63 this week, but also improved his overall score from 61 to a 64.2. It just still surprises me to see him at 63rd overall. I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's just some – I kind of feel like they wrote the whatever at the NFL top 100 where they left him out. They just keep wanting to leave him down further. And I don't know that they're really appreciating what he's doing and how he's winning this year. Chester Rogers, he's at 68th, up from 86th last week. Had a 56.7 in week three. He's up to a 62.9 this week. So that's encouraging. He had a solid week. A lot more attempts for he and Pascal and Grant, though, as well, with Hilton being sidelined for part of the game, or at least more snaps. You saw them more. You saw them block more. They saw them do all these things more. So I think that's a little bit of where their grades come in. Eric Ebron. This week he is down from 34th last week in a 61.1 to 40th and a 59.8 grade. I think his drops had something to do with this. His awful blocking had something to do with this. A little bit of everything for him, but overall, basically the same grade here, just more snaps of it. So moving on to the tackles. Now here, this is a surprise, folks, for a lot of you. Pro Football Focus and feel that Denzel Clark, I'm in between two of them, LaRaven Clark, went from 33rd last week in a 65.3 grade. He's up to number 15 among tackles this week with a 72.7. He did a really good job for most of the game. Consider that. We talked about this the other day. 62 attempts, guys. Okay, and then you consider the dropbacks where Luck rushed, consider the other dropbacks that were blown dead or just whatever, holding calls, anything like that. Clark did a pretty stinking good job, I thought. I won't say super impressed with him, but I felt like he did a pretty good job for what the Colts needed. Denzel Good, he is at 66 with a 49.8. I thought he had a nice game as well. I mean, I just don't think that you can ask for much more when you're basically mano a mano with J.J. Watt 90% of the game. I thought Denzel did a pretty solid job. They're not loving his grade, though, 49.8. That's not good. But LaRaven Clark, man, that's up there, 15th, 72.7. I don't know that I give him that much praise, even though I am somewhat impressed with how he's played so far. He's allowing some of these, and a lot of his success is due to the quick passing attack. That's a fact. So consider that, and don't expect that to stay put there. I think Clark has the ability to be a good tackle. He's just not there yet. Going inside to the guards here, Slauson has gone from 55 last week in a 57.4 grade to number 32 overall among guards with a 62.2. That's an improvement about 5 points. A vast improvement in rank, and I'm not going to say that I didn't think that he played well in the first half. I think that he did, and quite honestly, that entire interior offensive line for the Colts right now is kind of saving their butt. They've held sturdy. There's a little leak on the tackles there, but overall, this past week you guys saw it. Andrew Luck stepped up into the pocket a lot. And the reason he was able to was because of this interior. They didn't penalize Slauson a lot for a few really bad reps, so I like that. He's all the way up to 32. That's a pretty good-sized jump for him, especially in rank. Nelson, he's been pretty even Steven so far this year. Last week, he was at 36 overall with a 61.3. This year, he's at 38th overall with a 60.9. He's been right around that 60 mark, 61 in week two, and 62.9 in week one. He's been anywhere from 60 to 62, almost 63. That's pretty even Steven there. He's had a couple bad reps in there too. Hasn't been killed for him, so that's nice. But I think his play is a little better than what he's being given credit for, at least his grade-wise. I think he's just an impactful player, and I don't know how you would ever quantify that. That's just how I see him. And the guy here in the middle there, Ryan Kelly, he was 7th last week with a 71.9 grade, and this week he was 12th with a 68.1. Little down, not much. He's still playing at a high level. You love that, especially from your anchor at center. It's just a good thing for the Colts. This interior is playing pretty well. Pretty good football right now, and you like that. I mean, all three of your interior guys are in the top 40 in their rank in terms of their position, and that's impressive for the Colts. It's not balls to the wall. It's not great elite play necessarily, or by any means, actually. But it's consistent, and it's pretty good play. And they're having some really good snaps along with these average to better than average snaps as well. So you love to see that from a Colts offensive line. Pierre Desir, he went down from 8th last week in a 79.7 grade, but just a little bit. He went down to 13th in a 76 grade. Pierre Desir has been very consistent and very good this year, and I'm loving the fact that he has, because the Colts have had a lot of question marks. We've got Moore now out with a concussion. He's been a good ball player for the Colts this year, and Desir has been great. We want to keep him healthy. Hopefully he continue this nice play that he's had this year. I mean, in week 2, he was ranked 4th. And they had him in the mid-80s as far as his grade. So you want to see that continue to grow. Continue to stay, I mean, anywhere between 75 and 85. You're going to be in a top part, or portion at least, top 20 area of Pro Football Focus's grades. Not that those grades are the end-all be-all by any means, but you just kind of see how they're ranking him. He's kind of see where he's not dropping too far. He's not getting too high. He's staying right there. And his consistent play is helping the secondary tremendously, for sure. Big pick last week, too. That was fun. Kenny Moore, like I said, he's played pretty well. He went up from 34th last week to 29th, but his grade stayed the same. He was a big loss to this Colts secondary when he went out with his concussion. He was really mirroring Hopkins pretty well, went out with that concussion, and the Colts kind of lost track of him and some of the pass rush that was either non-existent at times, but even when it was getting some pressure, we saw Watson get out of the pocket a few times, and 6-7 seconds later, you can't really expect some of these guys to cover Hopkins that long. He's an elite NFL receiver, and that kind of told the story there. So, and I don't know if, for that matter, that Moore wouldn't have been able to do any better. That's just, I mean, an impossible situation when you think about all how long goes into covering somebody that's that good at their craft. So Hairston, he is at 91 overall right now, whereas last week he was at 70th. Okay, quite a drop for him in that regard. 60.5 last week, he's down to a 55.7 this week. Pretty solid for him. Not great. I want to see him higher than that, and I just want to see his grade. And some of these, now look, we look at the grade, but we're talking here in reflection of how they've actually played. Most of these, I think, are fairly accurate. I think Clark's a little high at the tackle position, of course, but I think that they're seeing some of his top plays, and they're giving him a lot of credit for those. They're not knocking him for some of the ones that are silly and bad. And I think that's kind of the way that they're doing for these a lot. I feel like they're not knocking as much as they are rewarding this year, and I think that that tells a bit of a difference. Now, maybe this is nothing's changed. This just kind of seems that way to me. I would expect some of these guys to be in the dumpster, to be quite honest with you, with a couple of the bad plays that they've had. It felt like in the past they were always more on going after those negative plays as opposed to the reward system. But you like what you get out of most of these guys. You're getting competitive and physical out of this secondary, and that's important. Hooker, he's down to 20th. He was at 15th last week with a 77 overall grade combined for the weeks. This week he is down a little bit to 75.1. You still like where he's at. Hooker's an important piece of this secondary. I don't need to tell you guys that. Farley is the one who took the heaviest drop. And he was at 6th overall last week among safeties with a cumulative 84.8 grade. This week he's down to a 68.6 cumulative. That's almost a 20-point drop. That's almost a 30-spot drop in rank. So you see that. I don't think that he played bad necessarily, but I would like to go back and kind of watch him a little bit closer, maybe to find some of the things that they are killing him for, because he got murdered this week quite a bit. But that could be just the amount of snaps that he had taken to that point versus where he's at right now. Moving on to the other safety, Clayton Gethers, he is down quite a bit as well. He was at 38 last week with a 65.7 grade. He's down to 54th this week in rank, but only down to a 62.7, 3-point drop on the grade total. That pretty even Steven for a lot of these guys, and you like to see that more than anything, more than the extreme highs. You know, there's going to be some extreme lows. You want to see these guys kind of level it out, and I think that a lot of them are doing that. Anthony Walker continuing to quietly have a really good season. Last week was fifth with an 82.7 grade. This week he is down to 13th overall with a cumulative 76.6 grade. Not as good as last week, obviously, or as in week three, but a good week from Walker. And I like just I love to see these two, he and Leonard, working in tandem. It's just really become a fun group to watch. Leonard also dropped a little bit, two spots in rank from 14 to 16th between last week and this week, and his cumulative dropped from 78.9 to 72.8. That's a pretty significant drop, 6 points for Leonard, and I kind of get it. I don't know that I get that steep of a drop, but he hasn't. This past week was not his top game. You know, we know that. You have all those sacks that he's gotten and how he's played, but he had one last week. He was iffy in coverage. He was really pretty solid though against the run. Leonard's been an excellent, excellent player for the Colts so far this year. See him and Walker in the top 20, Colts linebacking tandem in the top 20 is quite remarkable. Marcus Hunt from 19th last week and his cumulative at 80.2, slightly down to 21st and cumulative only 0.4 of a point. So you're seeing the same rush out of him. Now, I didn't feel like Hunt played bad by any stretch this past week against Texans. What I did notice is that he was worn out, man. They are playing him so much that he just hasn't been able to keep the same energy level the entire game. So I'm glad that they're not killing him for that. But look, those are snaps. They're what he's, you know, in there to do. He's in there to disrupt the running game. He's in there to get the passer off his spot. He's done a pretty good job of that, even when he's had to have this many snaps in a game. Jihad Ward. Still impressing for the most part. Still an active rotational guy here. Really leaving, you know, I mean, between the combination of all these guys, Terrell Basham really very much on the outside looking in on this group. Ward was 37th last week with a cumulative of 73 for his grade. He's down to 58th with a 68 cumulative now for his grade. Still only 5 points. Not bad. I really like the way that this guy keeps going. He was fun to watch this past week. This Sunday, it just you see that he is a nonstop guy. He gets called for a couple penalties here and there. Overall, really high level motor, and the guy is just working his butt off, and you can see it. I think it was a pretty solid pickup, to be quite honest with you. And even Carroll Phillips had a pretty good game last week. Now I haven't gotten his grade because he didn't take enough snaps, but I thought that he did a pretty good job for the most part. Had a couple silly penalties, at least one to the hands to the face. Overall, like I said, another guy, high motor. You're seeing that he is in there for pass rush, and the Colts are going to see what they can get out of him. Woods, he went from 110th all the way up to 91st, and he rose 9 points to his grade from 49.7 in week three to 58.9 this past week. Like to see that. He was one of those guys that they kept dropping in coverage off the defensive line. It was kind of interesting to see. It was working most of the game, but very interesting to see that he was the choice to drop into the middle of the field. Nico Autry getting his groove on, man. I'm telling you, he was everywhere on tape this week. He is a premier piece to this defensive line, especially if he plays anything like he did in week four against the Texans. He's ninth overall right now among interior defensive linemen. I'm sorry, about among the edges. And he is an 81.5 grade. Love what Autry brings to this defensive line. Hopefully he can continue that because the Colts definitely need it Thursday night. Jabal Sheard, he is up to 34th this week, up from 46th. 67.6 grade in week three cumulative. Now he's up to a 70.9. He's continued to be one of those consistent guys. He's the guy who brings it every week. Love what he's doing. Very impressed with him. He's just not a flashy guy. It's so funny because you just don't notice so much. But, man, he is always the most – I mean, it seems like he's one of the most physical guys on this Colts team, and he's still getting through not just with brute strength, but he's also getting through with some nice technique, and it's really impressive. Al-Kadim Muhammad, he was 86 last week with a 53.3. This week, up to 79th overall with a cumulative 55.4. And Kamoko Ture, up from 98th to 90, up from a 44.1 grade to a 51.2 right now. So he likes seeing what Ture brings. He is definitely a guy who is going to have to develop, but you're already seeing more development from him, especially as a premier sole upfield burst pass rusher than Basham. Basham just doesn't have that in his repertoire, and that's going to kill him ultimately as far as his career in Indianapolis, I think. He's definitely on the outside looking in right now. The Colts are, doing everything but releasing him. He's not active. He doesn't deserve to be active, quite honestly, in terms of his play. You know, what is he doing in practice? We don't know that. We can't possibly know that. But the guys who are showing up on the field, you know, look like they belong there. And they're more productive than what Basham has been, whether you're looking at interior guys or edge guys, because they're virtually the same position a lot of the time with as many twists as they run. So you look at it and you just kind of see the writing on the wall for the future, I think, anyways. But love to see Ture starting to gently kind of climb his way back climb into what his role will be with the Colts in the future. That's all we got for the Pro Football Focus grades, folks. Appreciate you guys dropping by today. You know, pretty good talk. Nice. Kept it right at about 30 minutes tonight. Won't probably be doing a show tomorrow. I've got a procedure that I have to get done. Going to be on the did not participate list tomorrow, folks. So I'll be down for tomorrow. And don't think that I'll be putting up a show, but I'll try to get something up. Maybe for Thursday morning for you guys on game day, if at all possible. I'm hoping to. Can't promise you anything, but we'll have something definitely to talk about post game, without question. A big deal right now is getting some of these guys healthy, and hopefully that they can come and actually look fairly fresh on Thursday night. This has kind of the makings of a stinker, just because of the Colts in their current injury situation and what's going on right now. I'm just hoping that doesn't turn out to be the case. Hopefully they look, you know, competitive and look like a quality football team. So that's all we got for tonight. Thank you, guys. Make sure that you guys are subscribing to the channel, okay? We're going to have the Colts cast 3-4 times a week. Stephen Holder is going to be releasing his new show pretty soon. So make sure you guys, if you have not subscribe to the channel, make sure you do that. We are on literally everything from iTunes to Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Google Play and Google Podcasts, all of the above. Art19 is where our feed comes through, so check that out as well if you need to, and give you all the links there for the show that you need for any podcast platform. Make sure that you guys are always coming to Stampede Blue for all of your Indianapolis Colts needs, analysis, and news. Thank you guys all for listening, and I'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.